This isn't our text. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17 for a second. Just for a second to set up where I'm going this morning. The Lord's help. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, look at verse 9 with me. Everybody pretty much knows this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, it's a fact. Our hearts are wicked. Amen. Who can know it? Well, the next verse answers and tells us who knows our hearts. It says, "I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." So, we're told by Jeremiah that we have a desperately wicked heart. And we do. All of us have heart trouble. Amen. In fact, our hearts are so bad we need new ones. We need transplants. And the Lord knows our hearts. And I can't think of a greater passage in the New Testament dealing with the heart than when Jesus spoke about the sower in Matthew 13, because He's talking about hearts. So my question this morning, as you turn to Matthew 13, my question to you this morning is, how's your heart? Do you know your heart? Let me put it this way. There's a lot of things, and I've lived 59 years, and I'm thankful for each day God's given me. But there's a lot of things I still don't know about myself. God knows, but I don't. But the one thing that I need to know, the one thing that you need to know, is how your heart is. Where is your heart concerning the things of God? How's your heart? That's what I want to speak to you about this morning. Is everybody in Matthew? Matthew 13, beginning in verse 1, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." You sure they were Baptists? Everybody wants to sit. Amen? Anyways. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold," excuse me, "a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, jump over to verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into a stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23, he that received seed into the good ground. It's he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. I thank you for ones gathered here in your house this morning to worship you and to break the bread of life. And I just pray your blessings on the bread of life as we break it. Give me the words to say that I might present Christ. Lord, let me preach with boldness and authority those things you've laid upon my heart. Lord, you know the spiritual condition of everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, I just pray that you'll have your way this morning with those that are here. There's a decision that needs to be made. May they have liberty to make that decision. We thank you for your Son, our Savior. We thank you for eternal life through his sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. Again, Lord, you've heard the prayer request spoken. You know what each need is. We just bring our petitions before you. Think that your precious will be done. So again, Lord, bless the service. May everything that we say and do honor and glorify you. Give me of my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I'm not here this morning to cause you to doubt your salvation. That's not the purpose. The purpose that I'm here this morning is to just see if you'll do a spiritual checkup. See where you are in your walk with Christ. Now, when it comes to the heart, we're going to look at a sword. The Lord said a sword went forth. So let's look at three simple lessons about the sword. I wrote them down. The first one is his devotion. You see, this sower went forth. He went out. You see, we as the Lord's local New Testament church have a responsibility to go out and share the gospel. Amen. We have that responsibility. So therefore, we have to be devoted to that. And I know a lot of folks have the idea, well, you know, that's a preacher's job. Preacher, you're paid. You go do it. No, believe it or not, God called each and every one of his born-again children that happens to belong to his local New Testament church to go out and sow the seed. So the sower went forth. Sometimes the sower gets a little discouraged. Now think about this. The proven fact. Only 25% of us sharing the Word of God, gathering the seed of the Word. And by the way, that's what the seed is. It's the Word. And would you agree with me that the world needs the Word of God today? Thank you, because it does. But only 25% is going to receive the word. That means 75% of the seed you throw out there, you're just throwing it out there. But the point is, you do it anyway. Because that's what's required. You know, I love what the psalmist said. And I'm not going to try to quote it because I'll mess it up, but this is what he says, and this is the attitude we all should have. And I mean all of us, not just me, but all of us. Over in Psalms 126, this is the kind of attitude I need to have, you need to have, and it's this. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the kind of attitude we need. We need to be willing to go, Brother Ciro, and sow the seed of the Word. And sometimes we get discouraged. In fact, sometimes we get so discouraged, we just throw off our hands and we sit on the pew and we say, well, if the world goes to hell, this goes to hell. Beloved, that's the wrong attitude. You know why it's the wrong attitude? Because one day there will come a reckoning day that we have to give an account to God. And I'm here to tell you, you don't want your seed in the barn. Your seed needs to be thrown out there in the world. I used to, growing up, we lived in the country. Now, I love to eat what the harvest produced. I still love to eat what the harvest produced. But I hated getting everything ready to plant. And I always dreaded going to the barn because you'd see stacks and stacks of seed, which meant I'm going to have to work a little bit. But listen to me this morning. Haggai even says, is there still seed in the barn? That's scriptural. And I always said that. You mean we still got seed in the barn? Yeah. My aunt and uncle, I helped them. They grew tomatoes for a living. Try 60 acres of tomato farm. That's how they made their living. And we would go down there every summer, and we would work, all of us cousins. And I want you to understand, it was work. You got up before the sun came up. Aunt Geneva fed us, and out to the fields we got. We went. When we got out there, we worked till lunchtime, choked down a sandwich, and then worked till about 4 o'clock. And you'd have thought, well, that's a long day. You're done for the day. No. That was working in the field. Now that we picked all those tomatoes, we got to go to the barn and start putting them in boxes and loading them boxes on a truck. And that was till about 6, about 2 hours. And then you went to the sales where all the representatives from all of the grocery stores would be, and they would bid on your tomatoes. And you'd think, well, you know, okay. You went to the sale barn. You really didn't do anything. You had to load those tomatoes on them big trucks then. So it was like 10 o'clock at night when you finally got home and you were too tired to eat supper. In fact, there wasn't no supper. You fended for yourself. You ate a peanut butter sandwich and you went to bed. But the reason I'm saying that is to say this. The sower got discouraged. And it's not easy work. Sometimes the work ain't enjoyable. Anybody ever had a door slammed in your face? Brother, have you ever had a door slammed in your face? Once or twice, huh? Don't want what you're selling. Wham! You Bible thumper, don't believe the way you do. Well, you didn't even let me tell you who I am. Don't care, don't want it. And it gets discouraging. But you do it anyway. So, again, you got to be devoted. And there's times you don't feel like it. Believe me, there are so many times after first couple of days down there on my aunt and uncle's farm with them tomatoes, I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to do it no more. But we have to get up because God depends on us sowing the seed. Now, let me talk to you about that seed. It is the Word of God, and you understand when you sow the Word of God, what is so great about the Word of God is it can be sown in dead, planty, rocky soil, but that Word produces life. It produces life. Everything else can be scorched, it can be dead, but the Word of God works the same. Every time, if it's received, it'll bring life. So, with that said, let's talk about what happened. He said that, and when he sowed some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured. See, sower went out, and Brother Cyril, he's sowing the seed of the Word, and he threw that seed out pretty much just on the ground. Didn't dig no hole. It just fell upon a hard place. What that pictures is a hard heart. See, there's a lot of people, seed of God's Word is sown. But because their heart is so hard, guess what? It doesn't germinate and it doesn't cause them open their hearts and receive the Word of God and become a child of God because their hearts are hard. And just like the fowls of the earth that came and caught all that seed, that's what the old devil does. See, he wants a person with a hard heart to stay with a hard heart. Let me put it this way. It's not that the Word of God, the seed of the Word, can't go into a hard heart. The problem is, the heart is hard and they don't want the seed of the Word. And there's a lot of people out there in the world today that the seed of God's Word has been sown time after time after time, and yet their heart is so hard they want nothing to do with it. And just let me say, they are on very dangerous ground. Unless the Word of God comes in and softens that heart, changes that heart, they're headed to hell. There's a lot of people headed to hell today. And the reason is because their heart is hard. I pray there's no one under the sound of my voice this morning that has a hard heart. If your heart is hard, listen. Jesus loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He will save you. And when you come to Him, He'll give you eternal life and He'll wash away all your sins. If you'll just allow that old hard heart to be softened by the Holy Spirit and receive the seed of the Word. See, this is what a hard-hearted person needs. Turn to Hosea. Hosea is the book right after the book of Job. This is what a hard-hearted person is, right? Did I say Job? Well, why don't we try Daniel? Is that better? You know what? Sometimes I have to be corrected. What's before Daniel? Look at chapter 10. This is what a hard heart needs right here. You know, answer is always in the book, isn't it? Always in the book. Hosea 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, and it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. That's what a hard heart needs. Amen. That hard heart needs to be broken up. Allow the Lord's righteousness to come and be received. So, speaking of heart conditions this morning, what kind of heart do you have? Is it hard? Let the Lord soften it, Brother Dave. Amen. Let the Lord soften your heart. Now, let's look at the next ground Jesus is talking about, or the next heart condition, if you will. He says, He sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, the piles came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. When I first read this passage, as I was preparing, that some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, I thought, my Lord, He's talking about the ground in Arkansas. Because the ground is nothing but slate rock. Right, sister? Slate rock. And there's a lot of stone. And according to the Word, Jesus is talking about the seed being sown on stony places. In other words, there was a little depth. There was enough to where you throw the seeds and it would germinate, but because of all the stones, it didn't have a deep rooted growth to where it could really produce fruit and be what it was supposed to be. And that's kind of like those stony hearts. That's kind of like folks that, for whatever reason, they hear the Word of God and they do come. Now, I don't know if it's because of conviction, but maybe they come because they just want to belong. They just want to be called a Christian. And they come, but then when they get in the church and it starts getting a little heated. And what I mean by that is when the Lord starts dealing with them to be totally surrendered, Be willing to sacrifice and submit yourselves. Be willing to go wherever God wants them to go. They have an issue with that. And the next thing you know what happens? Boom, they're gone. Because of a little persecution or a little commitment. Can't handle it. You see, the sun comes upon them. So they stop serving the Lord. Well, listen, their heart was never right anyway. They weren't saved to begin with. They just had their name on a roll. I want you to understand. Get this if you don't get nothing else. I'll give you a little Arkansas wisdom. You can't tell how much gas is in the tank because the old horn honks loud. Amen? There's a lot of folks, and believe me, in years and years of ministry, I've run across several. Oh, I love the Lord. I'm saved. And you say, well, good, I want you to do this. Oh, wait a second, preacher, I can't do that. You can't do that. And then Sunday goes by, and then another Sunday goes by, and then you go over there, they won't answer the door. Oh, no, no, y'all expect too much. Ain't me expecting, it's what the Lord expects. You see, again, their heart wasn't right. And I want to tell you something. A heart that is not right does not produce fruit. And the Bible says that a child of God will produce fruit. We're saved. Say, Brother John, you don't know that. You don't know their heart. They're not saved. That's what Jesus is trying to tell you in this parable. There's different types of hearts. Some are hard. They're lost. Others profess that they have a relationship, but you know them by the fruit that they bear. Therefore, if they're not bearing fruit, then what? They're not saved. They're not saved. Lots of folks in that condition today, sitting in a Baptist church. Profess to be something they're not. And then look at the next ground. I know something about this too. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And notice what he said. In 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I want you to understand what he's talking about there, that kind of heart. Those thorns. Sower sowed seed. And yes, there were thorns, but yet the seed did go into the ground. But again, it didn't go very deep. And because it didn't go deep, Brother Cheryl, didn't produce any fruit. There have been times after times in the years I've been the pastor here and when I was back home pastoring that I've seen people come through those doors, walk down the aisle, unite with the Lord church saying they've made a profession of faith. They're saved. But beloved, guess what? The cares of this world meant more to them than the Lord. Oh, they'll tell you, oh, I'm saved. You sure can't tell it by your actions. You see, I believe when a person's truly born again, he's truly made a profession of faith, he is a new creature, and his only desire is to please God. Now, that doesn't mean he'll always please God, but he has a desire to. He won't allow the world, he won't allow money, he won't allow things of the world to take him away from his rightful place in his church. You said that, preacher. Yeah, I sure did. You want me to repeat it? There's a lot just like that. But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't have a vacation. Believe it or not, God understands. I'm not saying there's times You're going to be sick, or you're going to get an ox in the ditch you're going to miss. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that say, oh, I love the Lord, but they always put everything before Him. And I'll go ahead and tell you, they have what I call a dead heart. And a person with a dead heart can't love anything but dead things. You're welcome. Did y'all get that? You might want to write that down. Dead-hearted people love dead things. You're alive. You love the Lord. Now, let me tell you about some good ground. You see, according to Jesus, He said, but others fell into good ground. Now, when I think about that good ground, that means that's ground that has been tilled. All of that ground, all them old clumps have been removed. All them old weeds have been pulled. You see, that's good ground. When the seed of the Word goes into that good ground, guess what? It will produce a plant. And that plant that grows up, there's no limit to how big it can grow. A single kernel of corn, and brother, you know this, a single kernel of corn can produce many, many ears of corn. Just a single kernel. So He talks about planting the seed in good ground. And He said, it prospered, didn't it? And it grew. And what did He say? It brought forth fruit, hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but what the Lord is speaking about is that 30-fold is 3,000%. That 60-fold is 6,000%. That 100-fold is 10,000%. When it's in good ground. You see, when the seed of the Word is sown in a heart that is in good ground, where there's not the cares of the world. In fact, that heart has already tried the world, already been there and saw how it was to be in the flesh. That heart that's ready for a change, that heart that wants to be like Christ, that heart that wants to yield to God and be right with God, that seed can do a lot of things in that life. That's where a person has to be. Now, we mentioned fruit. Jesus talked about you're going to bear fruit. You say, Brother John, what kind of fruit will a Christian bear? I'm so glad you asked me. Because I'll tell you what kind of fruit a Christian will bear. First of all, a Christian will bear a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, Christians will bear a new life. Christian will also bear righteousness. Amen? Righteousness. No, doesn't mean you're going to be made perfect and you're not going to have issues with sin after you're saved. In fact, you're going to be very aware of your sin once you give your heart to Christ. But you'll bear righteousness. A Christian also with a new heart will also bear praise unto God. It bothers me when people aren't thankful for what God's done. Some folks act like, you know, they deserve. I deserve to go to heaven. Well, I'm going to bust your bubble. None of us deserve to go. We all are to be headed to hell. If it wasn't for Jesus, that's where we would go. But people act so pious and so religious. Again, if the seed's been planted in the right heart, Sister Peggy, you'll offer praise to God because you know where your goodness comes from. By God's grace. And finally, talking about fruit, bearing fruit. A born-again child of God will bear another Christian. We reproduce other Christians. Read Genesis chapter 1, 11 and 12. It talks about bearing after its own kind. If you're a peach tree, you're going to bear peaches. If you're an apple tree, you're going to bear apples. And if you are a born again child of God, you're going to produce other Christians. That's the fruit that's produced by a heart that's right. As I said, I'm not here to cause you to doubt your salvation. If you're saved, you know it. But I am here to ask you and to challenge you. Check your heart out. You see, the Lord knows our heart. So I will ask you again, is your heart hard? Maybe it's hard because of something that's happened and taken place in your life. It's hard against God. I'm here to tell you, God can soften your heart if you'll ask. You need to get that taken care of. But you don't need a hard heart. Especially if you're lost. Understand you're headed for hell, unless you repent and trust Jesus as your Savior. Number two, maybe you've made a profession, but you're just, you know, not totally committed. Boy, there's a lot of that. Oh, I've made a profession. I've asked Jesus to save me, but, you know, I just don't want to commit. Maybe when I get older, I get all my oats sown and I do all the things I want to do. Then I'll start being more serious about serving the Lord. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you. And then you need to get in church. And you need to grow and mature in Christ. Maybe your heart is one of those that you care more for the world than you do the Lord Jesus Christ. I really feel sorry for you because I'm here to tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me, never happened to any of you that have truly been born again, is the day Jesus came into our hearts and faith. There's nothing in the world that compares to what we have in Christ. Nothing. I'd rather have Him than all the gold in the world. What I have can't be bought. I have peace and I have joy. I have been. And then maybe you're one of these that seed of the Word fell on some great deep ground. Rich. Great soil. And He changed you, and you're producing fruit. Isn't it time to just thank Him and praise Him for that? You are to. You are to thank God. Not only did He save you and give you a home in heaven to look forward to, but He's using you for His kingdom. You see, He knows how your heart is. But do you know how you are? Because those four hearts, everyone under the sound of our voice, including me, we all have one of those hearts. So where is your heart? How well do you know? I read a story and I'm going to close. I like history. And I like reading about soldiers and things. I had an uncle that was in Patton Division, World War II. And I saw a story. It was on the History Channel. And this fella, can't remember his unit, but they helped liberate a concentration camp in Germany. And anyways, of course, when they liberated it and they saw what had happened, how they had did what they did to the Jews, there were a lot of them angry, upset. And this one fellow said, you know, my father was a preacher. And he goes, I was raised in church. I was taught the golden rule. Love your neighbor. You love yourself. Do good to your neighbor and he'll do good to you. And he goes, you know, we had all these SS officers captive. And he said, our first lieutenant came and he was looking at me and he was looking at this other fella. And he said, this other fella, he goes, I was saying to myself, I don't want to be picked, but oh, don't pick him because he used to live in Chicago and work for Al Capone. You don't want to pick this guy. Well, he picked that guy. So he said he got his orders to take them through the woods to a holding place. It wouldn't, no time after they got out, he heard the blast of a pow, 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 pow. And he come back, gun barrel smoking. The lieutenant goes, hey, what happened? They all tried to escape, sir. And he said, everybody kind of there in their unit kind of snickered. And he says, it was so hard for me not to snicker. Because they got what was coming to them. But he said, I didn't want my heart to truly be that wicked and evil. You see, he goes, that's not my place to be judge and executioner. I told you that to say this. It's not my place to judge your heart. And I'm not. God knows my heart. I would never judge any of you. I don't know your heart. But I do know somebody who does know your heart. I can only answer for me. I know my heart. And when I watched that program, I thought, man, you know what? That would have been me. I would have probably done the same thing. And that would have made me no better than them. Because I have a heart that it's real easy to be evil. That's why I said we all need heart transplant. We need a new heart. So, in close, how is your heart? My prayer is your heart is right with God. And the only way it can be right with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've not made things right with God by trusting His Son as your Savior, then you need to do that. Maybe your heart is right with God because you have trusted Jesus, but maybe it's not right with another brother or sister. Maybe you've kind of gotten crossway. You also need to make that right. You see, the point is this. We stand before God and we can't hide nothing. Ask Him to show us where our hearts are. Show us. And then let's obey His voice and do something about it.